Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Kelly Walquist, sitting in as guest co-host today.
You're a different face and a different voice. You and I go way back, but tell us a little bit about who you are, what you're up to these days.
Oh, I'd love to. I am first and foremost a wife and a mom. I've got three kids. Two teenage girls, so lots of fun, and then a little guy who's 10.
You keep busy.
I keep very busy. I do. It's amazing. Everyone's off to school today, though, so we're good to go.
Okay. Very good.
I'm also the program manager at the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute.
Okay. I'm glad you could say the word.
We always tell
them. I have trouble with it.
We do tell our students that when they graduate, they too will be able to say that word.
Excellent. Well, tell us what's coming up today.
Well, today on the Rediscover Hour, do you know a man who may be hearing the call to serve as a deacon in the church? Find out about the essential ministry of the permanent diaconate, plus the discernment and formation necessary for this ordained ministry.
And we'll hear from some folks who attended the first talk in the fall run of the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speakers Series.
And we'll be inspired by a report from a local youth minister following last weekend's Archdiocesan Youth Day.
But we'll start the show like we usually do. We'll check in with Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Kelly.
We're at that point where we usually are every 2 weeks, where the paper has just come out, and it's just chock full of good material.
That's right. Front page, we have a story about that youth celebration, Archdiocesan Youth Day gathering, where we had about 1,600 young people that went out to Holy Family High School in Victoria for a whole day of prayer and praise, and to hear from some great speakers and to really celebrate their Catholic faith and show they're really proud to be Catholic. Once again, Archbishop Neinstedt spent the whole seven-hour day with the kids. He celebrated Mass for them and took part in a question and answer session where the youth got to text their questions to the Archbishop, and he answered things ranging from his vocation and Pope Francis to football to things about sin, questions the kids had, and about being a bishop. And the theme for the whole day was Believe and Speak, taken from 2 Corinthians. And all through the day, in a lot of different ways, the young people were encouraged to live out their faith and witness to the difference Christ makes in their lives. The keynoter was Sean Forrest, a great youth minister and musician and a really good speaker. He really pumped up the young people with a message that their faith can make, can make the world a better place today, that the youth aren't just the church of tomorrow, they're the church of today. And here's a little bit of what Sean had to say.
That's a good invitation. Learn your faith so that you can bring your head and your heart together so that you can fall in love with God and truth and bring it to a weary world that desperately needs to know Jesus Christ. That's your job. I get frustrated when I hear people say you're the future of the church. You are not. You are the church now. And it is true, God is going to do the greatest miracles. If you go further outside of this room and remember that the same Mass that you have here is at your church every day. The same adoration that you have here is at your church every day. Sometimes not displayed, but it's there. It's waiting for you. God's saying, you know what, man? Say yes to me and watch what happens.
Sean mentioned there the importance of going to Mass and participating in adoration, and adoration is something that capped off the evening there in a very powerful way with some reflective music by the band Sonar. And just to see 1,600 young people engaged in prayer that way was really inspiring to me personally. And so was seeing them, I have to say, standing in a long line earlier that day to go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. It was very powerful. And, another speaker at the day was Matt Burke, the former Minnesota Vikings player and Super Bowl champ last year with the Baltimore Ravens. And Matt, as you know, is a committed Catholic guy who isn't shy about sharing his own faith. And he talked to the youth via Skype about the importance of having good spiritual role models. So let's listen to a little of what Matt had to say.
Some of the most important people in my life are people older than me who are devout Catholics, who I look at them and I say, that's what I want to be when I'm their age, or that's what it looks like to be a Catholic who lives out his or her faith. And I pray for those people. I thank God for those people that are in my life. And I think that's really important, especially at your age. Start looking for people, older people, that you can look up to, and even ask them. Even if you have that kind of relationship with them, ask them if they will mentor you, and tell them why. Tell them that you want it, that you aspire to be a great Catholic, and someone who does live out their faith and intentionally grows in their faith every single day.
You know, the youth also heard some inspirational talks from Zach Sobiech's mom and his songwriting partner, Sammy Brown, and it was just a great day all around. And the next one we learned, Youth Day celebration, will be in October 2014 at the University of St. Thomas.
Boy, that's creeping up.
So, I
have to imagine that just seeing the line to confession itself was inspiring.
Well, you know, it was right during one of the first breaks, and I walked over there and saw the line, and I actually counted, and I counted about, I think there were 45 people in line, and I thought it was a line for, you know, something else, but that, you know, I talked to some of the kids there, so that was great. It was like I said, just very inspiring to see that.
Great stuff. What else is in the paper this week?
Well, another story we have this week highlights the plight of Christians in Syria. Last Sunday, we dropped by the parish festival at St. Marin's in northeast Minneapolis, and you know, they're an Eastern Rite Catholic parish, and most of their parishioners are of Lebanese descent. But
I love St. Marin's, by the way. A big shout out to everybody at St. Marin's.
And I have to say, what delicious food at the festival!
Indeed.
You know, even though a lot of folks have, like I said, are from Lebanon, there are about 20 families or so that are from Syria or still have family members there. And, you know, as you know, the country has been in the midst of a civil war now for a couple of years, and just some horrendous consequences being suffered by the folks there. And of course, every innocent civilian there is affected by the war, but Christians in particular are suffering greatly. And in many cases, you know, they haven't taken a side in the war and are caught in the middle. And one of the St. Marin's parishioners we spoke with talked about how his parents, who have dual citizenship, they returned to Syria a while back to help some family members, but now they can't get back to the U.S. because of what's happening there. And you know, Christians are leaving in large numbers, crossing into neighboring countries as refugees, and who knows if they'll ever be able to go back. And that's the fear, I think, that even more Christians will be leaving the Middle East. We've heard for a long time about Christians leaving the Holy Land because of violence and the lack of economic opportunities. And I think Iraq has about half the Christian population it once did because Christians left in the wake of the war and don't feel safe going back. So we continue to keep the people of Syria in our prayers and the Christians in the Middle East in our prayers, like Pope Francis has asked us to do. And you can read more about the situation there and some of the, our interview with one of the members of the St. Marin's Parish there in this week's issue.
We'll do that. What's on the Rediscover section this week?
Well, our theme is on saints, and we have a great feature about an artist at Providence Academy in Plymouth. His name is Christopher Santer, who draws these amazing images of saints, and a number of his images are on display at the St. Paul Seminary and at the Net Ministries office, and his images, you know, they feature some saints from long ago, as well as some more recent saints like Maria Goretti, and you know, it's prompted me the last few days to really reflect on saints myself that I've read about and favorite saints. And you know, do you two have favorite saints or saints you have particular devotions?
Well, my all-time fave is Therese. Whose feast day is coming up very shortly here,
mm-hmm.
of course.
And mine's St. Mary Magdalene.
St. Mary Magdalene. Well, St. Joseph runs deep in my family. Obviously, I carry that name, but my dad's Joseph. My two grandfathers are Joseph, and one of my grandmothers is Josephine. So we have quite the St. Joe tradition in our family. But people can read more about Christopher Santer's work and more about saints in general in this week's Rediscover Center section.
And that's in the September 26th. The issue of the Catholic Spirit. Am I right?
That is right.
Joe, it's always a pleasure to visit with you. It's always a pleasure to read the Catholic Spirit.
Well, great to talk to you, and I hope you both have a great weekend.
We'll hear Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour, and you can find the Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
Coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we'll check in with attendees at the first set of fall talks in the Rediscover Faith 2013 Speaker Series. What they have to say just might inspire you.
And talk about inspiring. We'll hear from a youth minister about Archdiocesan Youth Day 2013, which took place this last weekend. If you want a reason to be inspired about the future of the church, you'll want to stay tuned. Here's what one young participant had to say about Archdiocesan Youth Day as we go to break.
Sean's talk was really awesome. I kind of liked, even though it was a little bit aimed for girls, I think it was kind of cool when he explained how Jesus would die for us, how the kind of the elevator where someone would say, you know, kill me instead. And that was really inspiring for me because, you know, it's kind of hard for a guy to put in perspective how God would, you know, save you as a man by thinking, you know, like a soldier, you know, laying down his life for you. And that was really touching for me, so I really enjoyed that.
If your car or truck has hail damage from the last round of storms and you're not sure what you should do, this may be the opportunity to visit Matt Sack's Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine for the new Chevy or Buick you've been wanting. Why wait weeks for repair when Matt Sack's Chevrolet Buick will take your damaged vehicle as is and give you a fair price without the big city hassle? Drive a new Chevy Malibu for only $17,995 or lease a Buick Verano for only $219 per month. Now is the perfect time to get out of your hail-damaged car at Matt Sack Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine. Check us out at sackchevybuick.com or call 952-873-2234. All prices plus tax and license. Verano lease for 36 months, 10,000 miles per year to approved credit. Must qualify for Conquest Incentive. Chevy, find new roads.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Kelly Walquist, sitting in as guest co-host today.
And I'm Paul Sadek. The second annual 2013 Archdiocesan Youth Day was held last weekend at Holy Family High School in Victoria. This all-day event included mass, small group sessions, outdoor activities, and a question and answer session with Archbishop Neinstadt.
1,600 high school-aged youth on fire for their faith turned out for this special day. One of the youth ministers who played a role in bringing the event to life is Corey LaCroix. Corey is the senior high youth minister at one of the best parishes in the Archdiocese of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Okay, I'm being a little biased. He's our youth minister at Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata. And he joins us this morning to tell us more about this inspiring day. Thanks for joining us, Corey.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Is she telling the truth?
I don't know. I don't know if I could say that, but it's a great place.
Well, tell me, what were some of the highlights of Archdiocesan Youth Day for you?
You know, there's so many that come to mind, but two off the top of my head was that first was a teen witness. Zach Sobiak was a young man who passed away last spring, and he was involved in a youth group in Stillwater, Minnesota. His youth minister was Annie Fochman, and she shared with us his story, walking through cancer, how he did that. And particularly, she shared this moment from Facebook, actually, where she posed this question: what's your favorite part of adoration? And his response was, because when you're suffering and you're staring right at him, he doesn't turn away. He looks right at you and says, I've got a plan. Don't worry. You can do this. He's always there for you. And it was right before adoration, and that same line was said again as we were sitting and praying and worshiping with our Lord, and you just feel this like rush of peace come over the space. 1,600 kids, our Archbishop, many priests, and just with our Lord, with that peace, it was absolutely beautiful.
Wow. Corey, being a mom of teens, I know sometimes it can be kind of intimidating for them to profess their faith or to live their faith. It can be intimidating for adults as well. But what can you say to young kids who are on the fence about engaging in church-related activities with their Catholic friends?
Yeah, I think the first thing is always, like, find somebody to come with. You know, things are always better when you're not alone, especially when it comes to new things. The second is the Lord promises that if we seek him, we'll find him. So to, like, really believe that. And then the third thing is sometimes, like, the best things in life require risks. And sometimes it might be a risk for you to, like, go outside of your comfort zone and go to one of those activities. But to remember that this could turn out to be absolutely incredible. And the truth is that every time we encounter our Lord, it is absolutely incredible. So to trust that.
Corey, this was the second Archdiocesan Youth Day. How did it match up with the first one? Bigger and better? Are we looking to bigger and better things next year?
I don't know if I'd say bigger and better. It was certainly bigger.
More attendance, I hope.
Anytime that you have the local church coming together to be with one another, to engage in the faith, and you see thousands of young people inspiring to be disciples of Jesus, like, it's hard to get better than that. But this year was awesome, I'll say that. It was an incredible location. Holy Family Catholic High School is awesome, and our young kids definitely ate it up. It was awesome.
I heard there was a prayer team, and it was very inspiring for kids to see them. They were in, like, bright yellow shirts or something. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what they prayed for?
Absolutely. There's a group of men and women who spend the entire day praying for our young people. I'm praying for the details, praying for our archbishop, praying that everything is the Lord's. And so they're there from the get-go to the end, spending time in the Adoration Chapel, but also available for teens if they have something that they need prayer for. So I think anything that we do in the church, when it's bathed in prayer, you know that there's that assurance and that peace from them. So that was a gift.
Amen. And what a beautiful witness.
Yeah.
You had some amazing speakers. One of them was Sean Forrest. Tell me a little bit about his message.
You know what? Sean Forrest is probably one of the most dynamic Catholic speakers in our country today when it comes to speaking with young people. He was really challenging, actually, to our kids. He challenged them to really embrace the call to follow Christ and to recognize that when you do embrace that call, in some ways, like, you're putting your trust and in your hope in Jesus Christ, and it means that you're denying other things. That, that when it comes to truth, there is an absolute truth. It's not entirely subjective. Faith isn't just about feelings and emotions, but it's reasonable. It's real. It's tangible. And Jesus Christ walked the earth. So for our kids to hear that message in this culture of relativism was wonderful.
We have a little clip of some of what our young people heard. Sean is talking about youth being hope for the church and loved by God.
We always have hope in Jesus Christ. And you guys, this is the hope that stops violence. This is the hope that stops kids from killing themselves. This is the hope that brings families back together. This is the hope that gets rid of pornography. This is the hope that changes the whole world. This room right here saying yes to God and saying, you know what? I need to become a saint. And the only way I do that is by getting a confession, getting the Mass, reading about God, and entering into a true relationship with this God who is crazy about you, that he had died for you on a cross. You do that and watch your home change. Watch your own spirit change. Watch the joy come into your life. And when people say, you know what, you're nothing, you say, God thinks I'm pretty good, man.
Now that sounds like a guy on fire.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's the kind of guy that lights up a room when he walks in, and he just kind of radiates. His love of Christ is so passionate that I think the teens see that first, even before he says anything.
Corey, you've had a little change in joy come into your life lately as well, haven't you?
Yes, it's incredible.
And yeah, just a recent baptism of your son.
Oh my goodness, yes. This past Sunday, little Ames Timothy was baptized. And you know what the coolest thing was? Was of course like his covenant beginning with the Lord, being baptized into our church. But the Lord always has like these little gifts and surprises for us. And, the first reading of the day was from Amos. And second reading was from Timothy. And so like I'm sitting there listening to this. I'm like, are you serious? Like my son's name is Ames Timothy. And here we are, Amos and Timothy, not planned, didn't even recognize it. But just, you know, those little things that just, you know, lets you know, like, the Lord, like, has these little gifts for us all the time.
Those little God incidences, right, that keep you on track.
Isn't that awesome?
It is. So will you and Ames, or the kids from Holy Name of Jesus, be at the Rediscover Catholic Celebration October 12th?
You know what? My wife and Ames and I are definitely taking a family day that day. I know a bunch of our teens are going down with their families, but I'm not taking a group personally. You know, I've got to spend some time with the family that day.
Tell me a little bit about how you see. I hate to talk numbers too much, but do we have more young people coming into the church these days? Becoming
you know,
more
that's
active.
A really great question.
Besides Ames,
sacramental records. I don't know, to be honest with you. What I can say is that it is harder and harder for our young people to stake that claim as a Catholic.
These
and
are tough times.
Society.
Yeah. Yeah, these
you know,
are.
The questions that they ask are very challenging. You know, I mean, they're not easy questions. Does God exist? Can I trust the church? Can I know truth? You know, oftentimes that's where we begin.
Well, Corey, thank you so much. We're looking forward to another Archdiocesan Youth Day just a year away. I was saying that's just creeping up ever so fast.
Yeah, it can't come fast enough. Our kids love it.
Corey LaCroix, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, it was great to be with you guys.
Thanks, Corey.
You can see coverage of Archdiocesan Youth Day and the Catholic Spirit, which came out yesterday, or online at thecatholicspirit.com.
If there is a topic you'd like to hear more about on the Rediscover Hour, please let us know. Click on Show Ideas on the lower right-hand side of the show page at rediscover-faith.org. Just click on radio in the top navigation bar or email us directly at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. That's the Rediscover Hour at archspm.org.
Well, we're just 2 weeks away from the first annual Rediscover Catholic celebration, and the excitement is building. 5,000 Catholics gathering for worship, inspirational speakers like Matthew Kelly and Father Robert Barron, music, confession, most of all, an opportunity to encounter Jesus Christ. Since registration opened in May, we've been predicting that this event would fill up, and last week it did. Final tickets were sold out. If you didn't get a chance to purchase tickets, here's a chance to win them.
We have two tickets to the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration that we're offering as an exclusive giveaway to our listeners here on the Rediscover Hour. These are the last tickets we'll be offering for this year's event, and they come as a package. One winner will receive two tickets to the Rediscover Catholic Celebration on Saturday, October 12th at the St. Paul River Center, plus two box lunches that day. The winner will also receive two copies of Matthew Kelly's latest book, Four Signs of a Dynamic Catholic, and his popular CD, The Seven Pillars of Catholic Spirituality.
I understand Matthew's going to autograph that book, too.
He is, and guess what? There's also two CDs from Elliot Morris that will be in that package and autographed as well.
Elliot sings our Rediscover song that you hear every week on the Rediscover Hour, and here's how you can win. Visit the Rediscover Hour page on our Rediscover website. If you haven't visited us before, go to rediscover-faith.org. Click on radio in the top navigation bar, then click on the link listed for today's show, September 27th. There you'll find the spot to enter our ticket giveaway. It'll take just a few minutes to enter. This link will be live until noon next Thursday, October 3rd. So make sure you enter before the cutoff.
Then tune in to next week's show starting at 9 a.m. on Friday, October 4th. We'll announce the winner of the Rediscover Catholic Celebration ticket giveaway at some point during the show. Good luck to all our listeners, and make sure to tune in to the Rediscover Hour again next week.
And if you're not able to attend the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration October 12th, join us on Relevant Radio 1330 or on the Relevant Radio smartphone app even from noon to 4 p.m. for national coverage live from the St. Paul River Center.
Even though all tickets have been sold for this amazing event featuring Father Robert Barron, Matthew Kelly, and George Weigel, you can still hear their inspiring talks right here on Relevant Radio 1330 AM with live national coverage from noon to 4 p.m. Saturday, October 12th.
Well, straight ahead on the Rediscover Hour, we'll talk with the director of the Archdiocese's Program for Diaconate Formation about the special ministry of deacons in the church.
And a little later in the show, we'll share how you can take part in a beautiful display of Marian devotion. Our Blessed Mother's intercession is so needed right now. We'll be right back.
Rediscover. I'm Ed with Modern Roadways. 2 years ago at the Better Business Bureau's annual dinner, we were given a certificate for maintaining a Class A rating for 35 years. Now we would like to put that expertise to work for you. Patching, repairing, seal coating, and replacing asphalt and concrete driveways and parking lots. Call for a free estimate. We cover the entire Relevant Radio area. That's Modern Roadways, 763-545-1777. That's 763-545-1777. We are Modern Roadways Company, repairing and replacing blacktop driveways and parking lots throughout the metro area since 1953.
763-545-1777. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Kelly Walquist, sitting in as guest co-host. Do you know a man, a relative, neighbor, maybe your husband, seeking a way to serve the church in a more profound way?
Well, perhaps that man should consider discerning a vocation as a permanent deacon. For more on what it means to be a deacon, as well as the formation needed and how one goes about discernment, we're joined today by Deacon Joe Mihalik, Director of Diaconate Formation at the St. Paul Seminary. Good morning, Deacon Joe.
Good morning.
I remember the first time I called you some years ago. You had not yet completed your formation, and I asked your wife for Deacon Joe, and she said, "Well, he's here, but he's not a deacon yet." But you are now.
I am now, yes, indeed.
Well, tell us, what is a deacon?
A deacon is a man who is ordained, just as a bishop or a priest is ordained, to serve the church as Christ Jesus, who, as he himself says, came not to be served or to be deaconed, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The word deacon comes from the Greek word for service, meaning diakonia.
Deacon Joe, tell us exactly, what does a deacon do?
Well, a deacon serves in a broad variety of ways. The church describes the role of the deacon as a threefold ministry. It's a ministry of the Word, a ministry of the Eucharist, and a ministry of charity and justice. So ministry of the Word means that the deacon proclaims the gospel at Mass, always proclaims the gospel at Mass. Even a bishop or the pope is not supposed to proclaim the gospel when the deacon is there. The deacon is the man who can teach, catechize, evangelize. That's the ministry of the Word. He has a ministry of the Eucharist. He does not offer the sacrifice like a priest does. That's the role of the priest. But the deacon is the one who takes the fruit of that offering to the church and to the world. And he's the one who receives the offering of the church and brings it to the altar. That's symbolized in the liturgy when the deacon is the one who goes down and receives the gifts at the foot of the altar. And then he helps in numerous liturgies. So he can baptize, he can witness marriages, he can do the funeral rites, he can do benediction. All of those sacramental, eucharistic, liturgical roles, the deacon can either preside or he assists in making them work well. And then finally, the deacon is a minister of charity. And by charity, the church means that broad, broad array of corporal and spiritual works of mercy, from the most is seemingly mundane, serving the poor, serving the immigrant, serving those suffering, say those in hospitals and prisons, to serving the culture, serving in education, serving even in politics, if he has permission to do so.
This can cover a lot of territory, can't it?
Huge, huge. Pope Benedict said that it's this great territory that in some ways it most marks the role of the deacon.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what it takes to become a deacon, the formation program.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me a little bit about what goes into that formation program, how long it takes, and what does a man have to learn?
Sure, sure. Well, it's a multi-stage program. We say that the first stage is inquiry, and that's where men come to inquire and find out what is this vocation, and we hold a series of classes on that. Anybody who wants to consider that ought to be already in at least the first year of the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. Kelly, you know a little bit about that.
Absolutely.
Yes. So everybody does that first or as they're considering the diaconate. And then through a process of application and discernment, a man is admitted as an aspirant. He enters the aspirancy year. It's kind of a novitiate year is what it is, a year of spiritual formation and discernment. And then, if it's mutually discerned, he goes to the next stage of 4 years of classes and seminars and pastoral internships, much as a seminarian would. It's not full-time like a seminarian, because almost all of our deacons or men who wish to be deacons are, many of them are married, and almost all of them have other jobs. And then finally, a man is ordained and assigned by the archbishop.
One of the key things that I hear you talking about is discernment, and that's a real important part of the preparation and formation, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes, yes. And it's an ongoing discernment. So it's something that the man does, but he does in the context of the church. It's Mother Church who calls a man, and technically it's the archbishop who calls the man.
In that discernment, what qualities does a man need to possess to be a deacon?
Sure. Great question. Well, perfection. Jesus calls all of us to perfection, right? Right. Well, we're all on a journey. And so really what the church is looking for is a man of prayer, a man who already demonstrates an inclination to service and identifying with the church. So he has to have a sense of being an ecclesial man. He's got to be a mature man. And by mature, we mean in terms of his character and his virtue, his life of prayer, but also a man of some experience. In fact, you have to be at least 30 years old even to consider applying to the diaconate. You also have to be no older than 60 years old. So the church is looking for a man kind of in the ripe, full years of his life who is generous, and is willing to be taught and willing to learn.
Deacon Mihalik, I know you're probably going to not be shocked by this question from me since we work together, but
sure.
With respect to that and with what the man needs to possess, what about the role of the wife, both in the formation process as well as when the man is in the office of deacon?
Sure. That's a really important question, because the church absolutely respects, honors, and upholds that first vocation of marriage. So the wife definitely needs to play a role in the formation and discernment process. So in our inquiry classes that I mentioned, we require the wives to attend. The wife has to be part of the application process, and in that aspirancy year, that first year, she must attend everything with the husband, because if the man is married, he's discerning the vocation of deacon and to serve really another woman, the church, in a mystical way, the bride of Christ, the bridegroom. And so the wife needs to understand that as well. And their marriage has to be a mature marriage and a strong one that is willing to be generous and open to a great deal of service. And let's be very frank, giving the man away in terms of time and energy to serve many, many other people. So both husband and wife have to have a great level of maturity and generosity there.
So there really needs to be some discernment, not just on the part of the church and the man, but the man and his bride.
Absolutely.
Well, how many men are in formation right now?
Great question. We've got 7 men in their second year of candidacy, it's called, so that'd be they've already been through a year of aspirancy and 1 year of the academic and pastoral formation. So 7 men in that stage and 14 men who have just begun the aspirancy this past month.
That's got to be a good sign. 7, the number of perfection and
yes,
covenant, huh? And then doubled to 14.
Doubled. Yes.
Where does the deacon serve? Now, do they serve within their parish? Do they go where the bishop tells them?
Sure. Yeah, that's a really important question, because the deacon is ordained by the bishop for the bishop. he's fundamentally ordained not to serve priests, but to serve the bishop. So one of the key features of his service is that he's sent. He's sent where the bishop discerns there's a need. Now, Archbishop Flynn and Archbishop Nynstedt following him have a policy that a man is not to be assigned to the parish he comes from to begin with.
Oh, interesting.
And so he's ordained to be available to the archdiocese as a whole. Now, because of where he lives and his work and family commitments and other community commitments, there's going to be a limitation on where he could be sent, and we take all that into account. But he could be assigned to a parish. Many of our deacons are also assigned to a non-parish ministry. We have many involved in prison work, police chaplains, hospitals, hospice. He could be assigned to work for the archdiocese at large. We have several deacons who work for the archdiocese. He could be assigned to the university. He could be assigned to a hospital as his primary service. And then he'll always have to have a place to fulfill the liturgical, eucharistic heart of his ministry.
A deacon is an ordinary minister of the Eucharist, as I recall.
Yes, he is.
So if a deacon is present, one of the extraordinary ministers might be well to sit out that day.
Perhaps, but you know, there's always a lot to do in the liturgy, and especially if it's a larger liturgy or an archdiocesan, you'll often see two or more deacons assisting, and so we can always use help, you know, and everybody has a role, and the church encourages that.
How can we find out some more about diaconate formation and the discernment process?
Well, we're working on getting the website updated, so that's, I wouldn't necessarily recommend that as the first place, but I'd recommend contacting the St. Paul Seminary, and they'd direct anyone to us. Contact me directly at the seminary, and we have information that we'll send out, and we will be announcing via the Catholic Spirit and Relevant Radio and other venues the inquiry classes that we'll be holding this next spring.
Deacon Joe Mihalik, it's always fun to visit with you. Thanks for joining us.
A pleasure.
Today.
Thank you very much.
If you'd like to find out some more about being a permanent deacon, check out 10,000vocations.org, and that's 1 followed by 50, vocations.org, or contact Deacon Joe Mihalik directly at deaconformation@10,000vocations.org, or you can call 651-962-6876. We've put this information up on our show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org, click on radio in the top navigation bar.
You get a chance to hear Deacon Mihalik present on Living Out God's Plan for Our Life, coming up the first week in November. Last week, we caught up with some attendees at Talk 1 in the Rediscover Faith 2013 Speaker Series, which were first given earlier this year and are being offered again at new locations this fall, back by popular demand, Paul, right?
Exactly.
We asked attendees at the University of St. Thomas presentation, why is it important for Catholics to come together to grow in the faith? Here's what they had to say.
Hi, I'm Ashley from St. Michael's Parish in Prior Lake, Minnesota. I think it's really important for us to come together, not only to learn more about our faith, but to create a better sense of community within our school, within our community, so that we have more support when answering or asking these questions, and so we can look to others to help deepen our faith and also just listen and kind of think about things that you wouldn't normally think about if you were just sitting at home tonight.
Hi, I'm Andrew Dolsky, and I'm a student at the University of St. Thomas, and my home parish is in Mequon, Wisconsin, Lumen Christi. Each of us is a God's gift, and each of us has a different thing to reveal to one another, or a different insight of what God has shown us, and if we just keep to ourselves, it's going to be such a closed-minded view of faith, and when we communicate with one another, we grow together, and we learn together, and together we can reach that utmost goal towards heaven, and so that's one reason I think it's important, but I also just think community is so important for the people in general, a sense of belonging with other people that care about the same things as you.
Hey, my name is Edith, and I go to the parish at St. Catherine University, and I feel like it's important for us as Catholics to come together and come to these events where we converse and kind of get an idea of what everyone else goes through instead of just reading the scripture, because we get an understanding what other people are going through and what they experience and what they feel like, and we can associate with them and kind of like help each other build on our questions and how we feel, and then it makes us stronger because it's like a community building and building, you know, like putting a block here, putting a block here, and then just keeps building on our faith.
Hi, I'm Bridget from Transfiguration Parish in Oakdale. Well, as easy as it sometimes is to stay home and study, especially after a long day of either working out of the home or working in the home and battling three children, as fun and as challenging as that can be sometimes, it's really neat to just be re-energized, to be refreshed by being with people who inspire you and who remind you of your faith and remind you of what it is that you are so proud to believe in.
You can attend the second talk in the Rediscover Faith 2013 speaker series this coming week. That's when Father Michael Keating presents Rediscover, Belonging, Living in Communion with God, which shows us how personal sin weakens our relationship with God and reveals how living the life we are called to through our baptism unites us with God and to our family of faith. Talk 2 is given 4 nights in a row beginning Monday, September 30th at Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata. Tuesday, October 1st, it'll be at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids. Wednesday, October 2nd, at the James B. Wolf Alumni Hall in the Anderson Student Center at the University of St. Thomas on the St. Paul campus. And on Thursday, October 3rd, you can hear Father Keating at Pax Christi in Eden Prairie.
And all talks begin at 7 p.m. They run a total of 90 minutes, including hospitality time. All talks are free. No registration required. Make plans now to attend. Bring a friend or family member with you. For dates and other details, visit rediscover-faith.org. That's rediscover-faith.org. Or call 651-291-4411. That's 651-291-4411.
Coming up on the Rediscover Hour, find out about an upcoming opportunity to honor our Blessed Mother in a public way. Plus, we'll highlight other Catholic events happening around town when we come right back. Rediscover.
Just over 100 years ago, the first windshield appeared on cars and trucks. A century ago, windshields only served as protection from road debris, bugs, and bad weather. Now, a windshield is an important part of the safety system in your car. Having the right company replace or repair your windshield can make a clear difference. We recommend the Auto Glass Installed Company.
I'm Nancy Jasperson with my husband, Michael, and now our daughter, Brandy. We've helped many Relevant Radio listeners with their auto glass needs. Our local family business has years of experience installing and repairing your vehicle's glass. We handle all of the insurance paperwork and use only the best quality replacement parts. We even come to your home or office to do the repair. I hope the next time you or someone you know needs a chip repaired or a windshield replaced, you will think of us, the Auto Glass Installed Company.
Get your windshield repair done with premium glass and proper installation from the Auto Glass Installed Company. Call 763-274-0177 or relevantradio.com, keyword glass.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Kelly Walquist, sitting in as guest co-host today.
And I'm Paul Sadek, and the little tidbit that I found in the news this week is the one that everybody has run into, and that is the interview with Pope Francis. It's called A Big Heart Open to God from America Magazine. And I noticed you had it on your laptop, Kelly. Have you read it in its entirety yet?
Well, bits and pieces.
Well,
but I read it all the way through and then went back, and bits and pieces I had to cling to, because it actually is beautiful when you read it in its entirety.
There are so many gems in it. For openers, the interviewer asks the Pope, who is Jorge Bergoglio? And after thinking for a moment, he says, I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
You know. What a profound, humble way to begin the interview. Another thing which Pope Francis says in there that I think is so rich is that he wants the church to be a field hospital for sinners.
Yeah, I love that. He says the church is a people of God on a journey through history with joys and sorrows. And it's those sorrows and that ultimate mercy of God that we can cling to.
Now, this interview has been widely misrepresented, misunderstood, especially by the secular press. So I should point out The Pope does not come out with any new teaching in it. There are a few slightly different directions that he takes, but the teachings are exactly the same as Jesus Christ gave us 2,000 years ago.
You know, what's nice, Paul, is that the Holy Spirit works in mysterious and wonderful ways, and this has given us an opportunity as Catholics to tell people, read it in its entirety.
Oh,
read it. See
amen.
The richness of the faith. Even within my own family or friends, you know, they give me the sound bites, and I'm like, yes, that's true, but continue reading because you're going to hear the beauty of the catechism and the beauty of the faith.
It won't take you long. So go to americamagazine.org, Pope Interview, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And read, think, ponder, and pray.
That's americamagazine.org, Pope Interview.
You and your family have an opportunity to take part in a public display of Marian devotion the first week in October. The 11th annual Candlelight Rosary Procession takes place on Friday, October 4th.
Father John Paul Erickson, director of the Archdiocesan Office of Worship, will be leading the procession, and Father Erickson joins us today with the details. Good morning, Father.
Paul and Kelly, how are you?
Good. Good morning, Father.
I'm doing well. This is a huge event every year, and it seems like it gets bigger all the time. It's such an inspiration to see all of these people out in downtown St. Paul praying the rosary.
Amen to that. We here in the Archdiocese, we have two opportunities for these public displays of affection for our Blessed Mother, who remains with us so close. And of course, in these difficult times, we need her so desperately. But we have a procession in May, that first Sunday of May, from the capital to the cathedral in the afternoon. But in October, we have a procession by candlelight at 7 o'clock from the capital to the cathedral. It's a beautiful walk. We pray for beautiful weather. But more importantly, as you say, Paul, we pray that many might be touched and might be affected by this public display of love for she who leads us in our own pilgrimage to the mansions of the Father. That really is what this procession is all about. It's we're praying that our Blessed Mother might walk with us, might take us by our hand, and lead us through the darkness of our time and the darkness of the challenges we all face, whether public or private. She is with us, leading us home. And we all receive comfort and consolation from that. So the details this coming, next Friday, October 4th, we gather at the Capitol at 6:30, and then we'll process at 7 o'clock. And unfortunately, I will be the leader of this procession.
So that's wonderful. Well, that's not unfortunate.
I hope that doesn't turn people away, that... but no, in all seriousness, it will be a wonderful procession, and then we'll conclude at the cathedral with some prayers to our Blessed Mother, and then also exposition of the Blessed Sacrament and benediction. We should be done about 8:20 or so, it won't be a late evening for the family, and I do hope many of your listeners will consider coming.
Father, why is it so important now to pray the rosary?
Yeah, great question. You know, of course, in a real sense, it's always important. We are sons and daughters of the Church and sons and daughters of Mary, who loves us so deeply. But it must be admitted, we live in very, very troubling and difficult times. And individuals, the family, the Church, is under great assault from forces in and out. And in times of great difficulty in the past, the rosary has arisen as a real force for good. In difficult times when the Church was besieged, both literally and figuratively, it was through a devotion, through this powerful prayer, which is such a profoundly scriptural prayer, that the faith of the people of God was inspired, was upheld, and God's victory persevered. And that is one of the many reasons why it's so important to hold those beads close these days.
We're coming up on the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary in just a little over a week here. Tell me about the Battle of Lepanto.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Paul, I'm afraid I'm not prepared to speak too much about it.
All right, I'm sorry.
No, but it's okay. But the fact of the matter is, in broad strokes, you know, a city was besieged, Christians were besieged, and in a moment of great peril and being overwhelmed, through calling out through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, Christian forces persevered in the face, again, of great odds. This was, again, a physical battle. However, we also recognize that the Battle of Lepanto has meaning for us now spiritually, because we are involved in a kind of spiritual battle, which we all must willingly embrace. Again, not only in terms of assaults that the church may face in the public sphere, but each one of us individually, in difficult choices we must make, and the call to forgive, the call to ask for forgiveness. In all of these areas, we too face our own kind of Battle of Lepanto under enormous odds. And yet, the Blessed Mother leads us into battle, and always secures the victory for the glory of her Son and the salvation of souls.
What a fantastic answer to a question that you weren't prepared for.
I'm sorry. I wish I could give you dates and figures.
You did beautifully.
Well, anyway.
What intentions are we going to be praying for at the upcoming Rosary procession?
Yes, wonderful question. You know, we have so much to pray for, but we pray in a particular way for the sanctification of families. We pray for the sanctification of priests and of religious. We pray for a persevering of faith in the church in general, in difficult times, in difficult days, where, again, we are faced with so many questions. So really, in a nutshell, Paul, we're praying for holiness. If you want to boil it down, we are praying for the grace to be saints, both as individuals, as families, and as clergy.
And Father, how beautiful to be doing it in public. I was reading today's gospel, and just the opening sentence, once when Jesus was praying in solitude and his disciples were with him, and I thought, well, did the author not know what solitude was?
That's right, exactly.
But how beautiful that by contemplating and hearing the Son, the Master pray, the disciples learn to pray to the Father. And what are you doing? You're teaching people how to pray, pray the rosary.
You're exactly right, and that's such a powerful point. And of course, you know, we need to be clear that, as Scripture says, you know, our public displays of faith are they're not meant to rub it in people's faces. It's not meant to say, hey, look at me. However, it is a sign of solidarity with other believers and with other people of goodwill. And we as believers, we have affection for the Blessed Mother, and we have affection for the true and living God. And when you love somebody, you want to make that known, not only to the person themselves, but also to everybody else, you know. And in the spiritual life is in the same way. We are called to proclaim from the hilltops the message of salvation.
Father John Paul Erickson, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, Paul. Thank you.
Father John Paul Erickson is the director of the Office of Worship for the Archdiocese. Always a pleasure to have him as a guest here on the Rediscover Hour.
Here is all the information you need to participate in the 11th Annual Candlelight Rosary Procession from the Minnesota State Capitol to the Cathedral of St. Paul. It takes place on Friday, October 4th. Gathering at the State Capitol will be at 6:30 p.m., and the procession begins at 7 p.m. Ask your parish if they are organizing buses to the Capitol or other transportation. More details on the procession may be found on the Archdiocesan website under Events. We've also posted a link on our show page at rediscoverfaith.org. Just click on Radio in the top navigation bar. Here's what's on the events calendar. We are looking at having some great Catholic events in our area. Women are invited to a special day on Saturday, October 26th from 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Church of St. Michael in Prior Lake. Graced and Gifted with Courageous Faith and Contagious Joy features talks by singer-songwriter Kitty Cleveland, Catholic author and catechist Pat Gohn, retreat leader Jackie Witter, and yours truly, yep, me, Kelly Walquist.
Hey, I look forward to that. Unfortunately, I can't go.
Yeah, so your mustache might give you away, right?
I'm afraid so.
Kitty and I will take you on a journey that will leave you excited to live your faith with courage and share the gospel with renewed conviction, with confidence and joy. The day is designed to pamper women in mind, body, and spirit, beginning with Mass at 8:30 with Bishop Pache. After a light breakfast, I'll speak about living your faith with courage. Then you enjoy two breakout sessions followed by a fabulous, entertaining lunch. The day will be topped off with a keynote talk by Kitty Cleveland called Radiant with Joy. Tickets are $45 until October 1st, because that's when the early bird special ends, so register now. Learn more and register at gracedandgifted.com. That's gracedandgifted.com.
And if you're interested in finding out more about the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute, just attend a free event November 5th at St. Joseph in West St. Paul with a special guest speaker, Archbishop Emeritus Harry J. Flynn. The event runs from 7 to 9 p.m. Come and see what the Institute is all about and bring a friend. For more information on either of the events we've mentioned today on the Rediscover Hour, visit our Rediscover Hour show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org. Click on Radio in the top navigation bar. Well, coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, find out who wins the two tickets to the sold-out 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration with Father Robert Barron, Matthew Kelly, George Weigel, and other inspiring speakers, plus music and exhibits and Mass with 5,000 fellow Catholics. Make sure you put your name in the running. Just go to our show page at rediscover-faith.org, click on Radio in the top navigation bar, follow the directions from there.
And we'll share more information about that upcoming Graced and Gifted with Courageous Faith and Contagious Joy event just mentioned in the calendar. I'll be back next week to talk more about the inspiring event just for women, at which I am honored to be one of the speakers.
Plus, who are your favorite saints? Who do you turn to for examples of strength in times of trouble? Some suggestions for saints to inspire us during some of life's most common problems.
The Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.